Ultimate Deck Podcast. Need a show about outdoor living? This is where it's at with your hosts, Shane Chapman and Wade LeBrent. Thank you for tuning in. Now let the show begin. Yeah, yeah. The Ultimate Deck Podcast. Let's go.
Hey, everybody. It's Shane and Wade here again with the Ultimate Deck Podcast.
It's been a long time since we've been on here.
Right?
But now we're flooding it.
That might be the quickest turnaround we've ever had from one episode to the next. We're just like, stop recording and start recording and go again. Welcome back, everybody. We're to the Ultimate Deck Podcast. Do you think we should rename this thing since we're talking so much about patios lately? It's like Ultimate Patio?
No.
F-Dex Podcast?
F-Dex Podcast might work.
Yeah.
I don't know that we should rename this one. You know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
You mentioned last episode you were going to go golfing, and the reason you're going to go golfing is because hockey season's officially over for both of us.
I started golfing last night, actually, on some dude's ankle.
All right. Yeah. Why don't you tell that story?
Well, it was, like, not much of a story. I got cross-checked, and then the puck got sent to their team, and they started to skate out, and I realized that they weren't getting a penalty, and so then I thought, well, maybe the ref's not
somebody's
calling.
On
Maybe the ref's not calling penalties. So after I got cross-checked to the ice, then I two-hand swung as hard as I could and hit some guy in the leg. And then one of their other team members, like the other D-man, was like, that's a heck of a golf swing, and you're only 5 minutes away from starting your golf season. And he was right.
You've
we were
a
already
good
losing.
Chirps against you this year.
We were losing, and there was absolutely nothing I could say to him. So what I did say was, "Well, that's a pretty good chirp."
That's funny.
And then off we went. So, like, what was I going to do? Like, what am I going to say?
Yeah,
he's absolutely right. We were losing. We couldn't score. I knew that I was 5 minutes away from starting my golf season.
And so you took a practice swing. My season also ended last night with a loss. So also done. And I'm going to show you a video here, and I know people can't see it at home, but it's kind of funny. So the way the playoff, it's a two-game playoff in this adult safe league that we play in. We're in different divisions. We don't play together. But
best of three.
Essentially, because if one team wins game one and the other team wins game two, it automatically goes to an overtime to decide the winner.
Which is
so
game
essentially
three.
A sudden death game three, five-minute period.
I don't love it because they also make you play that as a three-man.
Yes.
Like it's 3-on-3. And it's like, well, if it's considered the third game, then it should be 5-on-5.
Yeah. And I can tell you for sure, I was out on that first overtime line, and I got caught like on the ice a little bit too long. And when I came off, I don't think I've ever been so short of air in my life. Like I thought I was dying on the bench because like we went down with a rush first and we were down the near end a bit and like lots of chances. And in that overtime, it's like game. Not only the game, seasons on the line.
Yeah.
Like you're freaking giving her. And then all the way back down the ice and was like, got caught back in our end again and couldn't change. And
that's
by the time
worst.
I got off, I was just like, it was bad news bears. But the funny part is, you play the same team twice. And one of the guys on our team didn't realize the second game was against the same team again. There was a two game. He knew there was two games, but he thought it was just like a round robin type thing. Mm-hmm. I guess. So the last game we were up 4-3. And we took a penalty at the end of the game, and then they pulled their goalie. And so it was 6-on-4, a mad rush on our end. And this is the video I'll show you here. So Dan, one of our defensemen, keep in mind at this point in time, there's about like 6 seconds left. There was a draw on our end to the right, to our goalie's right.
Yeah.
And I think there was only 6 or 7 seconds left.
Okay.
And so here's how this play went. So this is Dan coming out from behind here. So Dan, like, this is a non-contact league.
What happened there?
So
who's Dan?
Dan Vanesh.
No.
Number
10. Number 10?
Yeah. So watch him come out from behind the net here, and he drops a shoulder to this guy innocently, interferes this guy, boom, lays him out, trips the guy with the puck so he can't get a shot off, game over. And so...
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So...
So the contact, I could like.
What? How would you describe that play? What just happened there?
He interfered with the first player. He reverse checked him. He skated past and interfered. But then that trip is bad. Like that's a bad trip. That's as blatant a trip as I've ever seen.
Right.
He just like leaned his stick across that guy's foot. He didn't slash it or pull it out. He just like put his stick out across that guy's foot and then never moved his stick again.
And if he doesn't touch that guy gets one more shot with like a second left.
Yep.
So what do you do in that situation? We're coming fresh off you telling a story about golf golf swinging a guy's ankle. Yeah. So I'm not sure that your opinion should count too much. But greasy, yet smart. Right? Like,
well, like he got away with it.
He's going to take the delayed penalty there. The clock runs out.
Yeah.
So like he knew exactly what he was doing. He's like, I'm ending this game is what I'm doing.
Yep.
Is it shitty of him?
Certainly.
Kinda. Yeah. It's not the best like sportsmanship.
Yep.
But
the hit on the guy was worse.
The trip, ended the game.
Yeah, the trip is like whatever. The trip is a trip, but
pretty funny way to end a game though. It's like, oh, there's 5 seconds left. I'll just like lay everybody out who comes close
There'll
to the
be
puck.
No and, people
like,
standing when this is over.
Can't take a penalty with 0 seconds on the clock.
Yeah.
Well, not that kind of penalty.
Big ones.
But. So anyways, I thought it was kind of funny. He did that, and then he's like, and then he got chirped by these guys hard after. Did you play the video?
I guess
his face,
so.
And they go, like, you guys call him like a cheater and like kind of beacon whatever. And it's like, certainly, here you take some of that. Then Dan finds out that we actually play these guys again last night.
Right.
He's like, no.
Yeah,
we have to play them again? He's like, well, shit. He's like, yeah, Dan, like it's they're going to be out for
three.
Me now.
Have you not watched sports in your whole life? You're in the middle of a best of three.
But I feel like in the past, we haven't played the same team back to back. It only happens if you have, what is it, an odd number or even number of teams in your division.
If you end up with an odd number of teams, they will do a three-team playoff and one team will come out of that.
Right. And so
that
I think
they
that's,
can get it back.
I think we've always played it that way. I think it's maybe the first time we've ever played the same team back to back. So he didn't know that at that time. He ended that game and was like, well, that's okay. We won't see these guys again. They'll forget that by next year.
Nope.
Turns out 3 days later, we had to play them again. So nothing.
That's
nothing
what the playoffs
came of
are
it,
always
but,
the best.
Yeah. But anyway, it's kind of a funny. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I never even saw this happening. Like I was on the bench, but I was clearly not watching or paying enough attention to him specifically, what he was doing out there.
Yeah.
He posted that the night before our second game. He's like, look at this, guys. And he's like commenting.
How funny is it that we now have Live Barn
right
in all of these hockey rinks and you can go back and watch. Like as an adult, now you get to watch your hockey if you like, if you so choose.
Yeah. If you want to understand how slow you actually
how
move on
awful
the ice.
Is it to watch yourself play hockey? Yeah. Right. It's like it feels like it happens way faster, and then you're watching it, and it's like
the worst.
This is 13 and under hockey.
Yeah.
This is what this looks like.
Yeah. I do think that like the wide angle fisheye thing makes it look slower than it actually is, but
no man.
But it's not.
No, it's that slow.
But it's not like. It's like I watch other division games, like, and it doesn't feel that slow when you're at ice level watching, but certainly it's slower than you think you're moving. That's for damn sure. So pretty funny stuff.
I'm going to see if I can get this video of, you know, like earlier I told you that there was this, it was a defenseman. Nope, it was a forward. It was a forward who hit a goalie over the head with his hockey stick.
Oh yeah.
This happened. Like a week ago in Regina, it was all over. So I'm going to text my one buddy who showed it to me last night and see if I can get this video, and I'm going to show it to you.
And we'll talk about that in the next podcast.
Certainly, yeah.
But for now, we're going to get on to the topic of the day, which is, how do we want to say this? The benefits of using cable rail, and we're also going to address the question, is it actually safe, cable rail?
Yeah, it is.
Okay, sounds good. So we'll talk through the benefits first of using cable rail, because you know, it's been popular for a while, but it's increasingly popular because it's legality.
It has passed the building code in Canada.
Right. But it's being dripped out. You know what I mean? Like
10
years ago, you could do it in the States. Then gradually, like provinces started adding it. So it's staying on trend because there keeps being new markets every year where it's now allowed. So it just keeps being like the new thing for a certain select number of people, right?
Yeah,
and it's still happening.
And it's still not legal in all of Canada.
Right, but I think Ontario's the only holdout. I think Manitoba now approved it this year.
Oh, did they?
So like 10 years ago, it was like the States and Canada couldn't have it. When we go down to these trade shows in the US and we go talk to these cable rail vendors, we're like, we can't do it. They're like, oh, you're from Canada. Like they just knew because it was approved everywhere in the States.
Yes.
But nowhere in Canada.
Correct.
Then gradually, and thankfully, we were one of the first provinces to allow it. So we got on the train pretty early. Like we started stocking it in 2017.
It's so funny. So the building code in 2015, the National Building Code approved it. Yeah. They said that. So Canadian National Building Code says cable rail is approved.
Yeah.
Up to local municipalities to adopt it now.
And nobody did. Right
all
away.
Municipalities were like, nope.
But
I wonder
the 2015 code itself didn't become adopted into certain markets until 2017. So right. It wasn't like they adopted the 2015 but excluded the K-Barrel component. It was just that they didn't even adopt the 2015 version. Like, they don't update it every year. Like, often
it's every five, I think.
Yeah, often markets will just like ride an older version of it for a while because they don't want to be changing all the time. Yeah. But so anyways, long story short, it's still being dripped out. It's still staying relevant and trendy because, and even in markets where people have been allowed to do it for a while, they still don't know it. And we see this at every home show we're in. We display it and they're like, oh, can you do this now? And it's like, you've been able to do it in our province for the last 7 years.
Yeah.
But if unless you live it and breathe it, people don't know that.
That's right.
So anyways, a lot of people are curious about it. And then they always are like, yeah, but it's not safe because it's climbable. Then we're going to talk about that. But anyways, the reasons to do it, first of all, the pros of using cable rail in the first place. Number one, unobstructed views. So as far if you have a view that you're trying to retain and have the least amount of obstruction in your vision as possible, you got basically your options are glass or cable.
Correct.
And so the problem some people have with glass is that they don't want the maintenance of glass. They're scared that it's just like they're going to have to clean it all the time.
Be dirty.
And they're not wrong. It can be dirty all the time. I will say that not one time have I washed the glass on my deck of my rail. It self cleans pretty good with a rainfall. But I always say to people, though, if you have dog noses and peanut butter fingers in your house, then rain's not going to tackle those.
Totally different. Yeah. But what I use all the time when I'm talking to customers who are nervous or cautious about putting glass railing on their deck, I often ask them how often they wash their house windows.
Right.
Because that's, if you're the kind of person that always needs to clean your house window because you don't like the dust on it or the whatever, then it's like, then don't get glass railing.
So
that's going to cause you a bunch of extra stress. Don't do that.
Yeah, but the answer is go ahead with the glass regardless, because either you're the type of person that's like, oh, no, I clean my house windows all the time. It's like, okay, well then when you're at it, do the deck too. Like, they're really easy to get to.
Another 50 feet?
Do that. Or if they're the type of person that's like, hell no, I don't ever wash my windows.
Yeah. Then go for it.
Well, then don't wash the glass in your deck either.
Yeah, it's not going to bother you.
Either way, just do what you currently do with your house windows. Either nothing or clean them.
But you could argue that doing, like, who wants to add more? It's like, yeah, I already wash all my house windows. I was like, fair. Hey, no problem. We can add more for you.
And I guess you're also like, I would
sell cable to that person and be like, don't do this.
Your house windows on the outside probably aren't getting the fingerprints and the dog noses and everything else that a railing would get. So fine, you can have that one. But anyways, that's not what this is about. Unobstructed views. Cable rail, the cables are usually 3/16 of an inch, sometimes as little as 1/8 of an inch thick. They're very, very small. Mm-hmm. And it tends to be that kind of thing like that you just look past them, you don't notice it. Kind of like when you're wearing like a hockey face mask or something, or you're looking through like at a ball diamond through the chain mesh. Link or the mesh. You just don't notice it's there once you kind of focus on what's beyond it. You just kind of don't your see initial, it anymore.
The initial time you look at it, you see it.
Yeah.
But then after that,
because like how many times do you even go to a hockey game, sit in stands behind the netting of the puck or at a football game?
Well, all the time now.
You don't notice it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not on the other side of the ice, on the other side of the net.
I'm done now. Done being on the ice side.
So they're definitely great for views. There's no question about that.
Totally.
Minimalist design or just the like minimalist and industrial design look.
Yeah. Very sleek, very modern.
Yeah. So very clean lines, fits certain architectural styles, it blends in quite well.
Yeah, there's some sometimes it may not. Doesn't work at all, right? It's like if you have a colonial style house, it's like cable rails, maybe not the answer.
Yeah.
Doesn't look good.
But even from the other side of this, when you're looking from the street, maybe your curb appeal, it's going to disappear because of its minimalist design, I suppose, and its unobstructed view. When you're looking the other way too, because some people put their concern, like they like how their house looks, they like the frontage, and they don't want the porch in the front of their house or the deck in the front of the house to be like the thing everybody sees. And if that's the case, then you don't want to use like white picket rail because it's just stark and it's what stands out in the front of your house.
Certainly.
But cable rail can kind of like hide itself a little bit.
Most of the stuff we see is all stainless steel, so it really does just disappear.
Yeah. And so you get to like the money you spent on the exterior of your house. That style and design is what shines through still.
Yeah.
So, and this, you can use cable rail inside your house too. And again, the minimalist design and that architecture might suit it really well. Totally. And it's also very versatile because it looks so great with like timber and cable rail looks sweet. And so does like black aluminum and cable rail look really sweet. Yep. And stainless and cable rail. Like,
yep,
it really is versatile. Durability and low maintenance. So this stuff is made from stainless steel. That's why it's on the pricier side.
Mm-hmm.
So there's generally no maintenance on it. There is cleaning kits you can get for it that'll help keep its luster, its shine, so it doesn't look a little bit dull over time, but it's not going to rust.
Will not rust. If you're using the low, like if you're using the stainless steel stuff, there are...
If you're using the Alibaba stuff, maybe a different story.
There are lots of cables out there that are not stainless, and so you got to be aware of that. Just be careful.
Yeah. So that, that's...
And we hear that so that you know what you're getting quoted, right? So like some... You might go into a store, a lumber yard, or a deck specialty store, and they quote you railing, and it's really pricey. And you're like, holy, that's really pricey. And if I just go onto Alibaba, I can get all of that same stuff for whatever, a quarter of the price. It's like, well, then you're not getting the same stuff.
Yeah.
You're getting aviation cable, not stainless cable.
I was going to say, you can go to Princess Auto and get aircraft cable, and I've heard the odd person say, like, oh, I just got aircraft cable from...
Yeah.
It's like, is it even stainless? Oh, I don't know. Okay, well... Like, maybe it is, maybe it's not.
So that would be fine inside a house. If you're in your house, fine.
And there's different grades of stainless steel, too.
Totally.
So
there
is a quality difference between getting something that's cheap online from China and getting a reputable brand that has a warranty and uses a higher grade stainless steel. There's a difference for sure.
Yeah. Just be aware. That's all.
Durability side of things, it's like next to nothing can go wrong with it. It's like you'd have to use a grinder or cable cutters to actually, like...
Yeah, even so, like kids shooting hockey pucks at a picket rail or a glass rail, the pickets can get bent, the glass can blow up, cable it just like boing.
Yeah, goes through and hits your brother in the head on the other side of the rail.
Yeah, that's better.
But the maintenance, the reason I say low maintenance is that not because it needs like cleaned necessarily, but sometimes it does require retensioning. So there is that to note. Mm-hmm. Like, usually only once, kind of like you install it, you set it to the proper tension, and sometimes like it will stretch a little bit.
Yep.
So by next year, you might have to go out there and tighten it up again. And pretty much every system on the market has a really simple way to do that.
Yep.
So it's not a big deal, but just they may get a little bit loose over that first year. Once you tension it again, the stretching has kind of happened, and generally you won't have to do it again. But
we installed some railing in Saskatoon, and I told the homeowner about that. And I said, like, it's all done right now, but what's going to happen is that cable is going to sag. That will happen over the course of the next like month and a half to 2 months. And then when we are out there doing the other railing on the front, when you're ready for that, we'll have the guys pop into the back and they'll tension that up and it'll be good to go. And he was like, I'm really glad you told me that, cause I would have been mad. I was like, yep. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Right.
Yep. As long as you know, it's not a big deal. Maximizes space. And so I don't buy that this is like physical space. I know that's the argument they're trying to make, but I think it's more like,
next.
It's just the equivalent of like, you know, when we had our building here and we did the renos to this building, the painter, we were gonna spray the ceilings white because we thought that would look clean and whatever. And he's like, don't do that. The ceiling, that's all you'll notice then. If they're stark white, it'll make the room feel smaller. Paint them black, you'll forget they're there. It'll make the room feel bigger. We're like, oh, really? And so this one, I would argue that the maximizing space is more that it will make the space feel bigger, not physically larger space.
Yeah, you don't get to use more square footage of your deck, but the edge of your deck has now disappeared.
Right. And so you just feel the whole yard more spacious.
Yeah.
And you feel a bit more connected to the backyard. That's a good point, Wade.
Where your patio is, which you love.
Right. Safety and strength. So we're going to dig into this one a little bit more afterwards, but...
it's safe.
Yeah. Let's just leave it at that for now. I jumped ahead and said versatility before, but we do mention here again. So it can be used, like, again, in anything, in composite rail systems, in timbers and wood, in aluminum, in steel. Like, they really can work through anything. So very versatile infill kit.
Certainly.
To use. Increased property value, given that it is very on trend.
Definitely.
With the right place, it can be, like, an attractive feature to the buyer.
Yeah.
And so... I
don't know if I would buy that it increases the value, but it certainly makes it like it might make your house sell a bit sooner if you're up against, you know.
It would just give you that psychological advantage more than anything. Is somebody going to walk in and be like, oh, I will pay more for this house now because it's got this rail I really like? Probably not.
Yeah.
But their overall opinion of what the house is it may have a bit of a halo effect. Like, oh, I really like the railing. So they're, you know, the bank they fill when they're like analyzing things like love, don't. It's like one more love thing maybe influences them to be more interested in the house overall because whatever.
Totally.
Right? Easy installation. So some people don't realize how easy this stuff actually is. It is quite simple given, like, it takes some time because you're running typically 13 rows of cables or 11 rows of cables, depending on your railing height.
It's not hard.
But it's not hard.
And none of it's heavy.
And most of these systems are kind of like, they're kits. They're ready to go for you. It's all been thought out. Sometimes you might have to drill some holes if you're going through wood or if you're going to put it in your own aluminum rail or whatever, you might have to drill some holes.
Certainly.
But often if you're doing a kit, like, for example, the ones from Vista Rail that we stock, it all comes with the holes are already tapped into the posts, so you just have to thread the connectors in.
Yeah.
It's easy.
That's pretty easy.
And even the other system we carry, which is Feeney, that we often will put through either wood or Fortress aluminum posts, it's an extra step. You got to drill the holes in the post, but it's not hard to drill the holes in the post. It's pretty easy to do it.
It's really easy. It's time consuming. It
takes a little bit of time.
It takes some time. But like if you're doing this as a DIY project, then take all your posts, get set up in the garage the day before or the weekend before or whatever, and just drill the posts and then set them off to the side. And then when you go to do the deck, it doesn't seem as bad because you've done some prep work. You did a little bit of work before. Yep. So.
And drilling them through wood posts is a little bit trickier because you've got to make sure that your drill is really level or you got to do it on a drill press or something to keep the holes level aligned.
It does get a little bit weird that way.
Going through aluminum posts, you're just going through that thin wall. So you're just punching one hole in the side and then a hole in the other side. You don't have to make sure your drill bit is perfectly level to make the holes line up necessarily.
Yep.
But and the final one is environmentally friendly. So if you're somebody who just doesn't want to be using treated wood or you're worried about the manufacturing process of plastic or composite or whatever, then I guess arguably you could say that the stainless steel cable is infinitely recyclable and probably was recycled before it became
almost
your cable rail as well.
Came greener. Yep.
So might be a little bit greener and lasts forever. So I guess there's that component to it as well. But I always find that environmentally friendly message is just like one that you can make anything sound environmentally friendly.
Mm-hmm. You really can.
Or not. Like it's easy to argue both sides of that.
Yeah. Yeah. With like the exact same product, right?
Yep. So. Okay. Now let's roll back because the other half of this podcast is about whether this stuff's safe. Because if you mention to somebody the words cable rail, and at least in this market, 80% of the time, somebody's like, oh, is it safe though? Or they've already met their mind that it's not.
The propaganda machine,
right,
pre-2017, worked perfectly.
Yeah. And so people have often just heard that one time. It's not even based on their own experiences.
Yeah.
It's just like they just heard that they heard the word climbable one time. Like,
it's climbable.
That's not good.
Well, and it makes sense. Given where we are located, there's a lot of barbed wire fences out there. People climb over them. They're like, climb on the fence, right? So it looks the same.
Yeah.
Acts the same.
Yeah. So we were talking about this. We always bring this up because we were talking about this just before we hit record on this, was that a number of years ago, back when we were still exploring this, but probably weren't allowed to carry it.
Correct.
We talked to one manufacturer, and we don't remember who it was.
AGS I believe Stainless, it was AGS.
Potentially. Or Feeney, like one of the big ones.
No, it wasn't Feeney.
So they had told us that time, like, that there had been an independent study done on the safeness of cable rail. Mm-hmm. Because where the concern is derived from is the fear or the potential for children to climb the rail and go over. And so you can understand why that would be. There's 11 rows of cables that
it looks
you
like a ladder.
Put your foot on. Like,
it looks like a ladder.
Looks climbable. So that was the reason, that still is the reason why they just like some markets don't allow it. It's climbable, kids will fall over.
It's dangerous.
And then what happened was they did this independent study, and I couldn't tell you who. We should try to find the study someday.
We should actually. We reference it all the time, but it's like.
It'd be nice to have it.
Yeah.
But they did a study apparently that determined three things. Determined one thing. Determined that cable rail is actually safe. It's not like the fear is not based in a lot of actuality.
Not founded.
So, and the reason they discovered why kids don't actually climb and end up on the other side of it is, number one,
they can see through to the other side.
Right.
So typically children climb things so that they can look at what's over there.
Right.
So you climb up on the couch and look out the window. It's right. Because when they were on the ground, they couldn't see what was out the window.
Right. If they're standing at floor and they can see out the window, they don't climb to see if it's on right. the window.
Never seen a kid can. Drag a chair over to the patio door and then stand on the chair to look out the window.
Right.
It's just like, oh, that window is fine.
Yeah.
That's the height of their whole world.
And when kids are tall enough to do things at the counter, prep food, they stop pulling the chair up there too.
Because they can see it.
Because they don't have to be higher anymore.
Right. Yeah. So that's the first.
Yeah.
Second reason, it's a straight vertical climb. And so.
Try that.
You can't do that. You can do a straight vertical
rock
climb.
Rock climbers can do that.
Yeah. But everything is pitched. Everything has an angle to it. Hills, ladders, stairs. Like, you have to have a gradient on it.
Yeah.
Because a straight vertical climb is hard.
All your body weight is pulling away from the ladder. And yeah. You need more strength to climb something that's perfectly vertical
yeah.
than something that has a slight grade to it.
Yeah. And so the kids, they didn't like that. Me either. I don't like it either. And the third and final reason they had was that it hurt their hands. The cables are so narrow that it doesn't like cut them, but it digs in.
Yep.
And
it's uncomfortable.
It's uncomfortable. It's like a very, like it's a small surface area with increased pressure.
Yep.
And so that just hurts. So there, it's like they don't climb it because they don't have to. And it's uncomfortable. And it's hard.
Reason enough for me.
Right. Reason enough for kids.
Yeah.
So, but that doesn't mean that kids don't climb
things.
Things. There
they can
are
climb
some,
regular rail too.
There are some kids that are just climbers and they're like, they're on everything.
Yeah.
So get them a cage.
Like, most kids have been in the hallway or a door frame.
Yeah.
And put their back in the wall and their feet on the other side and walked up the middle of the wall.
Absolutely.
They could also grab vertical pickets with their hands, easier than cable, actually.
Yep, because it doesn't bend.
And put their feet on little things and climb out that, too. Like, if they're that determined, just having pickets instead of cable is not going to stop them.
Right.
But the biggest thing we talked, like, so we had recently talked with Regal Rail, Regal Ideas Rail, at...
It had
Deck
to
Expo
been
or IBS, one of the two. Deck Expo.
It Deck was Deck Expo.
And we had a conversation with Andrew, who's, I don't know what his title is now, Vice President, actually, I think. Vice President, and he still has his hands in a lot of the marketing stuff. And then also Norm, the guy that owns the company. And so Regal's not doing cable rail. They won't do cable rail. And the reason for that is primarily driven from Norm. Norm doesn't believe it's safe. He doesn't want that ever to happen. I believe that Norm has had some personal tragedy in his life that has is probably the reason for being extra cautious around this kind of stuff. But
we don't know that for sure. We have no idea. Like, we know that something happened.
Yeah, but I believe I've heard a little bit, but not enough to know for sure. But anyways.
Regardless, he makes the decisions.
They won't ever do cable rail because of safety concern. Unfounded or not.
What I said to him was, like, I asked him, I was like, how do you just not do this? And he was like, because if one kid died
yep.
from Regal cable rail, he was like, I wouldn't sleep.
Yeah.
He's like, I can't do it. I just like, even if it is safe, it seems more risky and I won't make something that I think is more risky.
Right.
He's like, it's not happening.
And as we were standing in the booth, I had mentioned that, and this wasn't to them specifically, but it's just like, it's the scenario that's most likely to happen is that there was patio furniture sitting on there, as there would be on 98% of decks.
Correct.
There would be chairs and tables on the deck, and the chairs are not fastened down. And when a kid wants to see out a window or get up on the countertop,
yeah,
the first thing they do is they grab a chair and they push a chair up there and they stand up in the chair. There is nothing, zero things, stopping a kid from pushing the chair up to the rail, regardless of what type of infield kit's in it, glass, picket, or otherwise,
yep,
pushing a chair to the rail and having like the ability to go over regardless.
Correct.
Doesn't matter what the infill is. In yep. fact, if it's cable rail, because of the things you just mentioned, hard to climb, hurts the feet, they're probably still just as likely to grab the chair because it's the easier way to get over that rail if they're actually wanting to go over the rail.
Yeah, they might start by trying to climb the cable. Yeah. They might be like, oh, I'm going to climb this, and then find out it's awful and then go get the chair.
Yeah. Same as they might do with pickets. They might grab the pickets and try to like stand on the bottom rail and try to figure a way up. And they're like, oh, no, I'll just grab the chair and do this.
Yeah.
So it's like there's no perfectly safe railing option. The safety comes from the fact that these things have to be tested to, for a certain amount of load, which a kid's never gonna push that to its
correct
limits.
Yeah.
And the height that it's required to be. Now, here, we're required to have 42-inch height rail as soon as you get over 6 feet.
Yes.
Which is a little bit taller than a lot of the, in the States. It's just like, it's just 36 everywhere, which... like, I feel like that's the bigger issue.
It certainly is, because...
it's lower than my center of gravity. I would, like, it hits me in the knees, I could go over that stuff.
Right. The height, like, the height of humans is changing, and our center of gravity is moving up, and there's... it is way more dangerous to allow 36-inch rail than it is to allow cable.
Yeah.
Like, significantly more dangerous.
Yeah, I believe so. So they're like, so
when you get pushed into the railing, your center of gravity changes. You hit that railing and your top half starts to go over, and all of a sudden your center of gravity moves. It moves up.
Yep. I to each their own, but I don't believe that cable rail poses a significant threat. I've got 4 kids at home. One's older, but the other 3
and
one's
most likely to climb it.
Yeah.
The oldest one.
Yeah. But no. I just wouldn't be concerned that they would climb over it. I don't know.
Like, I always liken this to the idea of crossing the street or driving to work. So people talk about, like, oh, I can't get on a plane. It's so dangerous. It's like, well, it's not. It's not dangerous.
You want to know why? Sorry, I thought you were another.
Planes are the safest mode of transportation.
Yeah.
You're more likely to die driving to the airport, statistically.
The fear of what could happen.
Right. But when a plane crashes, it's like, nearly 100% success rate.
Yeah. So here's a anecdote to support this whole thing. I built a playhouse in my backyard with, not with cable rail. That'd be crazy. Right. It's got pickets. But I built a climbing wall, like a ladder to get up onto the playhouse. Oh, yeah. And it's perfectly vertical. I did not pitch it whatsoever.
Okay.
And I have a reason for that. I didn't want to pitch it out because it's kind of like, I had one corner in the backyard I could put it, and if I pitched that out, it would be kind of in front of the garage man door. Right. So I didn't. It's perfectly vertical.
Or girl door.
Girl, person door. And so and it has actual climbing blocks. Screw to it.
Yeah.
Like the real climbing blocks you'd see on any climbing wall. The kids won't climb it. They, like, until they get like 6, 7 years old, they can't even really attempt it because it's so vertical. Even though it is infinitely more grabbable and infinitely easier to climb than cables would be.
You built that with the intention of it being climbed.
They were supposed to climb it.
And they
still couldn't. So the 7-year-old can get up there now, like, and he has for a year or two, but the 4-year-old still can't really get up.
Yeah.
But it's like, even that, in its intended purpose to climb, just eliminating the other thing too, it doesn't hurt their feet.
Yeah.
So it doesn't stop, or their hands. It's just vertical.
That's enough.
It's enough. They can't do it. So
yeah.
Anyway, that's my take. I don't think it's very... So to clear this up, U.S. is all fine. I believe that all provinces in Canada are fine now too, other than Ontario, I believe, is the last holdout. We were just down in the States, talked to somebody, and they said maybe it was Vista, maybe it was Davis, that said that Manitoba has now approved it as well, and they were like one of the last holdouts, them in Ontario.
Yeah. So I can't speak to that. I don't know that for sure. So. Yeah.
And so for everybody that's still worried about cable rail, I mean, if you don't personally do it, it's fine. I'm not going to force you to do it. If you don't believe it's safe, that's okay.
Yeah. Because like at the end of the day, it's your house and you have to live with it. Right. And so of course that would be an awful situation,
but it's just one of the unknowns.
Yeah.
So what we're trying to do here is like, it's been tested. People have done this, that kids aren't hurling themselves over the rail. Like the fear is.
Yeah. And it's been in Canada for 7 years, and no doubt when it was, like when it was passed and allowed to come into our country, no doubt it was under a magnifying glass for the first few years. Because if it was going to cause a bunch of deaths, then they would pull it off. They would be like, yep, there it is. Yeah. See, told you.
So the funny thing still, though, is that there is some restrictions on it. And what is it, 3 meters, 3.5 meters, like 11 and a half feet or something?
13 feet.
13 feet. So there is a restriction that you can still only use it up to that 13 and a half or 13 feet, whatever it is in meters.
Yeah.
And we always kind of joke. It's like, you know, cause that,
I don't know,
you're sticking the 12-foot landing. Like if you go over, like That's one perfect rotation. You're landing feet down. You're good. But 13 and a half, that's an extra rotation. That's face first.
Yeah, that's half rotation. Certain death.
So it's like, it's kind of a funny number. I assume that number is just like there for another reason. They're like, well, we should just use that number so that there's not new numbers.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, with other things, right? So similar to what like the Regina building code just changed. So
you
used to need a permit if your deck was over 11 inches.
Yeah.
And now it's just like, the number's 24, actually. That's everything. Everything implements at 24.
Yeah.
Which is great.
But it's funny, in commercial buildings or multi-story applications, it's like, well, those are typically balconies. They're not big decks, whatever. And balconies are usually very small space. Mm-hmm. Like, what are we talking? Like 5-6 feet by 8-10 feet.
Yeah.
So they're a small space with patio furniture and barbecues on them.
Yep.
Against the railing.
Easy enough. 14 to climb
stories
over that.
In the air.
You can climb right over that. Like, you just push that chair over and up you go.
Right.
There's no, like, you don't have to put glass to close from the top of the rail to the underside of the roof or the ceiling or whatever.
Yeah. It's like, it's open.
It's just open.
A lot of potential there.
And big, big buildings, man. Yeah. There's some buildings that are like 30 stories. And on the 27th story, you're only 42 inches away from going over.
Yeah.
Cable or no cable. So, the other thing that we didn't talk about was the spacing on the cable. So the cables do run 3 inches apart so that if there is deflection in between the posts, it doesn't exceed 4 inches, which is the standard width or the standard spacing for picket railing or any railing. Yep. No opening may exceed 100 millimeters.
Yeah.
And so.
Because there is.
That's the same.
There is flexibility. To the cables.
Certainly.
No matter how much you tension them, if you try really hard, you can flex it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It seems like pretty much any system I've seen has been always 3 inches on center. So I don't know if that's tested or just cautious, or I don't know if it's universally like you have to at three or whatever. The rule being it can't stretch more than four. But and if you don't tension them regularly enough, like don't do that second tension, then that could stretch that far.
Yeah.
So anyway, hopefully it dispels some of the myths and puts you all at ease.
I am going to sleep way better having talked about that now.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that it's 11:30.
That'll do it. But I did buy you two coffees tonight to get through this whole thing, and you haven't even started the second one. So see you next week.
Hey, thank you for listening to the Ultimate Deck Podcast. Now you know what we're about. Check the site, come and shop, ultimatedeckshop.com. Hit us right away for sponsorships or tell us if you want to collaborate. Let's go. Check us out on any social networks. Thank you for listening.